this morning. If you put your hands together in a worldwide welcome, I'd like to welcome Dr. Banky for a word from God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. If the Lord is good to you, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
I said, if the Lord has been good to you, shout a very, very loud amen.
Amen.
If you are happy you are here today for this Sunday service, you've come from your village, or you did not go to the village, or whichever, but you are in church this morning, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a word for you today. That it is not just Sunday. God has a word for you every day. And the word for today will come to you now. Say it will turn your life around. I think I explained this to you before, that we know before I used to wonder when they say this word will turn your life around. I said my life is always going around and around. Then the Lord now revealed it to me, I believe, that when you want to turn a screw, what do? You turn it around. As you turn it, it keeps going higher, 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 higher. So turning you around is like a screw. God is turning you around so he can lift you up. If you believe that, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good. Before we sit down, let's just read the portion of the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In the first service, I introduced something which I will review what I said in the first service, because most of us were not around then, but some of us were around. But then I'll lay the emphasis slightly differently in this second service. Verse 19. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, go. It's very short. That's it. Okay, now that you're sure it's just one verse, let's start again. 1, 2, go. Quench not the spirit. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day because of your word from above that you have ordained to bless us with. Lord, I ask that my tongue will speak your word alone and not just what I want to speak. And Lord, that your people will hear the thing you want them to hear in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please, you may sit down. And the first service I made, let me just review for 5 minutes exactly what I said in the first service, and then I'll run off what I have to say in the second service, which is actually a continuation. Or even if you are not around for the first service, you'll still get blessed, all right? So don't say that, but I didn't get the introduction. I'll review it, but then what I want to say, this second service is slightly different, but it's a continuation of what I said in the first service. I explained something in the first service that we read from Psalm 51, where David said, renew a right spirit within me. And I explained that Joseph, when Pharaoh finished listening to Joseph and the words that Joseph spoke, he said that we can see that Joseph has an extraordinary spirit, or the spirit of the gods. And that the same thing was said concerning Daniel, that Daniel had an extraordinary spirit. Now, because of this kind of spirit that was found in Daniel and that was also found in Joseph, Pharaoh exalted Joseph to a place above his fellows, and Daniel was being planned by the king also to be exalted to a place above his fellows. Now, maybe we should just read that one, Daniel chapter 6. We did not read that in first service. Let's just read it so that we can all relate what I'm saying. Daniel chapter 6. It said then, verse 3, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Did you notice that? Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 41, you will see that this is exactly the same thing that Pharaoh did to Joseph. He appointed him over the entire kingdom. Why? Because he had an extraordinary spirit. When I started in the first service, we took some physical matters to use to explain spiritual truth. I explained that if you take an electric coil, just a coil of wire, and you pass a magnet through it, what happens is that flow of electricity is induced in that coil. And if you take a broad sheet of cloth, flat, you know, and then you put a piece of stone in the center of it. Now, there is a depression created by the weight of that stone, and every other thing that's on that sheet starts rolling towards that center. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, both the magnet and that piece of stone, both of them don't try to get results. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Their very presence is what causes things to begin to move. I hope you are following me. That is, it's not by labor, it's not by effort, but that God created them to be able to do certain things just by being there. The second illustration we said, that was how Albert Einstein explained the principle of gravity. But get this clear. If you open, go home, take a big bed, yes, a soft bed, put a big weight in the center. Every other thing you put at the edge starts rolling towards the center because you have created a depression. The big weight you put in the center did not try. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. And that's what Jesus was saying when he said you are the salt of the earth. That is, if you are present on this earth, there are things that begin to happen because of your presence. Do you understand what I'm saying? That if you pass through a place, like a magnet passes through a magnetic coil, you will generate some kind of reactions in the spirit, and that thing will be manifested definitely in the physical. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That there is a spirit inside you that God has placed in there, and every time you move, something is stirred up. And that the principle by which we get results in life is not to try to get results. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is not to try to get results, but to have what? The correct spirit. Remember that when we read about Daniel and Joseph, we know that what became of them in their lives came about as a result of what? The kind of spirit that they have. I hope you are following. Consolidate with me. Don't mind those who are walking around. You understand? Just concentrate on me, all right? What came to Joseph was what? A result of what? The kind of spirit that he had. What came upon Daniel when the king wanted to exalt him over the entire kingdom was because of what? The Bible says he had possessed an extraordinary spirit. I'm explaining to you this morning that what will come upon you in life will be product of the kind of spirit that you have. I'll end the first service by saying that you can get the correct spirit. Do you understand me? It's not as if, okay, I was not born with that kind of spirit. Because when we read from Psalm 51, David prayed, renew a right spirit. King James said, my Bible uses the word, a steadfast spirit within me. That is what we come, at that point in time, he had a bad spirit, he did not realize it. The spirit that he had was an adulterous spirit. Now get my point very clear. David had an adulterous spirit inside him, but he didn't understand it. It was when he saw another man's wife, and he killed the man, that he understood that he had the wrong spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that was why he prayed and said, renew a right spirit within me. Now get this. If the man had the right spirit, he would not have taken Bathsheba and killed the husband. Now when he discovered that after doing it, so for that reason, he now went to God and prayed in that Psalm 51, that God renew a right spirit within me. Now what I'm explaining is this. What will come upon you in life, what you will find yourself doing, do you understand me, is a product of the kind of spirit that you have. No, I think I told us this story some time ago. I watched a program once on TV. Well, it wasn't fiction, it was more like a documentary. And this woman, what's the name of this renowned war correspondent on CNN? Christiana Mampo. Yeah, she followed the case of this young black boy who at the age of 17, he and his friends decided to rob a car. And then he killed the man, the old man that was driving the car, and told his friends to kill the wife. But his friends realized that this was not part of the deal, so they didn't shoot her. Anyway, the man died, they took the car, and of course, police caught them, they caught him, they tried them, the other ones were guilty for other things, but he was guilty of first-degree murder. Do you understand me? And then this is the story I want to understand. When they were interviewing the man, because they interviewed him, true story, wasn't fiction. They followed the whole case up till the day he was finally executed, because he was found guilty and sentenced to death. Now, this woman went to interview the boy in his awaiting death cell. You know what I mean? In his cell in the prison. And one thing the boy said is that, they asked him, he said, why did you do it? He said he doesn't know. Now get me, he didn't have any criminal record. He wasn't a habitual criminal. His parents were flummoxed. Nobody understood. He was a football captain in his school. You understand? And if you read around this, the way Americans behave, for you to be a team captain in school, you must be a good person. They don't just appoint you because you can play. You must have a good character. Now this boy was football captain in school. So nobody understood. At the age of 17, he just killed somebody for nothing. They asked him, he said, he doesn't know why he did it. That, is it my friend? That he doesn't think so. He was the one that came up with the idea, let's go and steal a car. His parents, no. They are a middle-class, responsible black family. He thought about it, nobody understood why the boy did it. But believe me, I understood. It sounds funny, but I think I understood. And I won't try to explain to you why I think I understood, but let me just say this. Now, before I tell you what I understood, we're watching a film in my house yesterday. Me and some people were just watching some things, and I won't tell you the film because I don't want to recommend you go and watch it. You understand? We're just watching television. Now, there was this guy in there that was wicked, you know, mean. You know, now it's a play, all right? Somebody wrote it. But, you know, there's no smoke without fire. You understand what I'm saying? It's based upon life experiences. Now, this young boy was mean, wicked. You know, the guy was a sadist, and he loved to kill. So I was explaining to those watching with me that, do you know what his problem with is? That he's a, in the Bible said, the world became flesh. Do you understand me? That the anger and the hatred inside his mother became flesh when he was born. And that boy grew through life. He didn't realize it, but he had an angry spirit, a vengeful spirit that became a wicked spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was angry, he was vengeful. That if you've read stories around psychology, talk about the serial killers, people who are very wicked and mean, there is something inside them that is pushing them. That's when we talk about spirit. That's what we are talking about. Now, oftentimes, it's just a vengeful spirit. Somebody annoyed him. He has not forgiven the person. And that anger and that quest for vengeance is pushing him around. So you see somebody that just pours water on his leg and he shoots the person because he's angry. You understand what I'm trying to say? He's angry. Now, I'm explaining this because this young black boy, when I saw it, a picture just came to my head. Is a typical young black boy who lives in a predominantly white community. You understand? Now, his parents may not have realized this, but this is my personal conviction. They poisoned him against the white man. They didn't realize it. Every day they would tell him, the reason why you can't go far is because there are white people who don't like you. You are being oppressed. So, the day he got a white man under his control, all the anger that was inside him, get my point, just stirred up, and he had killed the man before he realized what he was doing. Do you understand my point? That was why David said, David prayed like this, renew a right spirit within me. You don't know the kind of spirit that's pushing you around until you get to certain situations and you take certain decisions or make a quick response that you wouldn't believe when you finished. I hope you are getting my point. That young man was executed at the age of 19 because he had the wrong spirit. Get me? He killed somebody because he had the wrong... He may not have realized it. But suddenly, situation opened. David did not understand the kind of wicked person he was until God allowed the situation to prove to him his wickedness. He thought he was a good king. When they came and told him that, look at what this somebody has done. You know how Nathan brought the situation up to him? He said, somebody stole what? Sheep, a lamb, a small lamb from a poor man. Meanwhile, the man had plenty. He was telling David he had many wives. This small soldier had just one little wife. David didn't realize the kind of wicked person he was. He thought he was righteous. And the man who stole goat is a wicked man. So he ordered death upon that man. And Nathan said, good. Now, see that person stole sheep. You stole a human being. So what do we do to you? That was when he began to pray. Do you understand my point? Because suddenly, the kind of spirit he had was made manifest before him. Let me just say this. Anytime you come into a situation in life, you find yourself responding in a manner that is not befitting of a believer. After you have finished, go and pray like this. Because you have discovered that you have what? A wrong spirit. Pray like David. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. But that's not my emphasis today. You know, what was the scripture we read at the beginning? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says what? Quench not the spirit. I was explaining that what will come upon you is what? A product of the kind of spirit you have. I told the story of that young man to tell you what came upon him as a result of the kind of spirit that he had. This other boy we're watching in a movie also. The same thing happened to him. Eventually, after he had committed all his murderous acts, somebody murdered him again in vengeance. That is, he got a result of the kind of spirit that he had. Joseph and Daniel were getting results based upon the kind of spirit they had. Remember, under Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel and his brothers first came, they were appointed rulers in Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar died and all his ministers were laid off, you know, the way we do it in Nigeria. You know, once you change government, all over the world, not just here, all the cabinets vanishes. So Daniel went with the former cabinet, and the new cabinet was appointed, and nobody remembered Daniel. Until problems came again, and the mother of the king came and said, I remember there was this man under your father's, in your father's cabinet, and that was it. He came back again. But his coming back did not last more than 2 hours, because rapidly after that, Darius overtook everything. As soon as Darius came, he appointed him again. And was planning to appoint him over the entire kingdom. I remember the case of this man, Olukoye Ransom Kuti. One minister I can vouch for in Nigeria under Babangida did not chop money. He drove a Golf throughout. I hope you understand. I saw him long after he had stopped being minister. I was still driving a Golf. When Brain Drain was taking every Nigerian specialist abroad, the man was the one that structured things. In fact, the salaries that doctors earn in Nigeria till today was founded upon the work of Olukoye Ransom Kuti. Olukoye Ransom Kuti, till he died, was honored everywhere he went. You know, I remember the minister, one of the ministers after him, Debo Adeyemi, every doctor hated the man. If he walks in here, now doctors will walk out. But before him, Olukoye Ransom Kuti, the NMA was having a national conference in Abuja. Ransom Kuti just came to attend. Everything stopped. With that announcement, everybody stood up and gave him a loud ovation. The man just came in. That is, he was honored. Now, get this point. He was the only minister Babangida started with and ended with. Why? He had the right spirit. You have to understand this point. The man, look, you couldn't accuse him of having chopped money. Everything he was doing for the benefit of humanity. He was doing for the benefit of the country. There is a spirit that is very common in Nigeria, and that is the spirit of corruption. If they appoint your uncle minister today, you tell him congratulations, and your friends tell you congratulations, and your friends tell your friends congratulations, and your cousins start telling everybody that their father has become minister, and they expect to become rich. The spirit of corruption. And churches sometimes will actually organize small party for the fellow, because tithes and offerings shall increase. We are now in power. Listen to me, child of God, that is absolutely the spirit of corruption. And it is the reason why Nigeria has refused to move far forward. Though we are going forward still, we are just slow. We are going forward. Who said we are not going forward? We are going forward. If you say we are not going forward, you are the one we leave behind. When we will have reached where we are going, you will still be where you were used to be. Listen to me, we are going forward. If you don't believe that we are going forward, you won't park and join us on the train. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you think we are going to be at this bus stop. So you go to go and pee, you go to go and eat, you go to go and play. You think the bus is not going further. But those who know won't drop. Because they know that this luxury bus driver will just take off if he doesn't find you. We are going forward. But the point I'm making is that what is slowing us down is this spirit of corruption that is even found amongst Christians. Let me tell you what the spirit of corruption is. The day you become happy because your uncle has become commissioner, you are corrupt. Listen to me, you are. Because there is no reason for you to rejoice. You should be afraid for the man. You should go and cry for him. You should pray for him. You are rejoicing that he has become commissioner. Listen to me, you are a corrupt fellow. You suddenly become a contractor. You were a lecturer before. You are corrupt. Listen, you are I'm saying it without equivocation. You are corrupt. I'm coming to something. That what we come upon in this year that we are coming to will be as a result of the spirit that you have. If you have the spirit of corruption, you won't move forward. Listen to me. If you have the right spirit, even when governments change, you will remain. They who in Sudan survived the change of 4 governments in Sudan. He said because they realized that he's there to build their country. Daniel kept on surviving the change of rulers. Why? Because he had the right spirit. I told the story of Olukoye Ransom Kuti because he was one man that started with Babangida, and was only when Babangida left that he left. Babangida had no cause to change him. He was a man that was in the kingdom to promote good for the nation. Do you understand the point I'm making? Come on, you need the right spirit. That's what David was saying. He said, renew a steadfast, a right spirit within me. The point, you see, my main thrust for this second service actually is to, after explaining that what will come upon you is a product of the kind of spirit you have, I want to read a portion of the scriptures. Open with me to John chapter 7. I'll read from verse 37. So now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let me go over that again. Come to me, he says, anyone that is thirsty and drink. If you believe in me, according to the testimony of the scriptures, from your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He said, what is he talking about, this river of living water? He's talking about the Spirit that every child of God was supposed to receive, which at that point in time had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. Has he been glorified now? That means anyone that believes in him has what? The Spirit of God. The right spirit that's supposed to cause him to get results. The right spirit that's supposed to cause him to have impact in his generation. Listen, open to Ezekiel chapter 47. As you read, because Jesus was saying that as the scripture has testified, there was no verse of scripture that said what he said exactly. I mean, those words, you know, a quotation. If there was, my Bible would have put it in capitals. But he was referring to a portion of Ezekiel. Now, I'll read from verse 1. It said, then he brought me back to the door of the house. Thank you. He said, behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He said, he brought me out by the way of his north gate. Now, please, for time's sake, I don't want to read everything. All right, let's just jump down. They were measuring 1,000 cubits, and the water kept on increasing. Then verse 5 said, again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in. Now, if you read from the earlier portions, you'll see that the water from verse 1, it was flowing from under the threshold. That's the innermost being. Now, let me go back to where I was. Verse what? 5. Okay. He said, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of that river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region. I'm happy we're in the eastern region. He said, these waters go out toward the eastern region. Believe me, this water is going towards the eastern region of Nigeria. If you believe that, say amen. He said, they go down to the Araba, then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea. And the waters of the sea become fresh. Or literally, they become healed. And it will come about that every living creature, which swarms in every place where the river goes, will live. Now listen, is the river trying? No, is the river trying to make the sea fresh? Is the river trying to make those things live? No, it's just the right spirit. Everywhere it goes, it automatically gets its results. And Jesus was saying to us, if you believe in him, from inside you, this river will flow. Are you getting what I'm saying? That everywhere this river flows to, it will get results. Is somebody listening to me? That there's the right spirit that he said people will get when he has been glorified. And that spirit has been given to every believer in Christ Jesus. And he said that river is supposed to go out and heal sick places. Because that sea, he said, will become fresh. Or literally the sea will become healed. And every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish. For these waters go there, and the others become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. There will be many businesses, there will be many jobs created, there will be many problems solved, because somebody who has the right spirit of God is manifesting that spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What did I start with? Quench not the spirit. Get my point. Jesus came down. Thank God this is Christmas season. Are you understanding my point? And we are celebrating his coming. Why did he come? Because he wanted men to have from inside them this river flowing. And he said, how will they get it if they believe in him? Now please, if you are in church and you have believed in the Lord Jesus, shout a loud amen for me. Amen. Go. That means that you have that spirit inside you. Am I right or am I wrong? That is, if it is not getting results, you are quenching the spirit actively. Listen, you with your own mouth testify that you have the spirit. Am I right? So if you are not seeing results, then there's something you are doing actively to quench it. Why did I use the word actively? Because you can't quench it permanently. It's there. Do you understand? It's flowing forth. No, imagine that water is flowing from a tap. It's coming slowly. So you mop it. Next morning you come back, what happens? More has come. Now, so if you are not seeing the result, you are constantly quenching the spirit. Pastor Sam, I feel like preaching with you. Please don't be offended. I didn't plan it beforehand. It just happened when you were ministering the first service and when you were playing the second service. Pastor Kani, what did you and I discuss? I said, when last did this man minister like this anywhere? I don't know, but I suspect that you have not been doing that much. Listen, if you are gifted as a child of God, no matter how much you pursue after blessing, if you don't use the anointing upon you, that blessing will elude you. The mistake we make is to think that I will minister better if I have money. God said, you will get money if you minister better. It said, look, listen. Hebrews chapter 6. It said, God is not unrighteous as to forget your work and your labor of love, in that you ministered and you are still ministering. Also, when you are playing, I just walk on it. Every time this man sings like this, I get blessed. I said, why doesn't he do it more often? You are probably posting, okay. Because I see you always answering phone call. Akim has reported you to me before that you're always answering phone call. Listen to me, breakthrough does not come from GSM. I went for a birthday party yesterday. And the lady we went for the party, the mother said, business center, because the phone was always ringing. She said, business center. You're not a business center. Why am I preaching with you? I don't know. Anyway, I prayed the first time that somebody was, maybe you were supposed to travel, you did not travel, so you can hear this. We want to use our gifts in our spare time. Error. When I have nothing else doing. Listen, if nobody gives you opportunity, get a microphone, stand in front of your house, start singing to the birds of the air. That's what I do. Nobody called me to preach that invited me when I wrote 17 tracts and distributed, as at now, over 50,000 copies. Many of you have read them. You don't call me to preach. It's your personal problem. I have a website where all my messages are. From next year, you can listen to any message I preach. MP3, click on your computer. Your speakers will start blaring my voice. I don't care whether anybody gives me an opportunity. I will create it. Because the word is inside me like fire, shut up in my bones. I can't forbear. If you don't listen, I have done it before. I will walk and be preaching to the stars. Stars, hear ye the word of the Lord. So I can sleep well that night. You want to use your anointing in your spare time? You are headed for failure.
understand? Because I have time. That is what I do in my spare time. What do I do with my real time? I teach. If you want to sack me from my job, it's very easy. Book me full for next year. I resign instantly. I will not cancel teaching appointments because of the university. I will go anywhere to go and preach as long as I have a word for them. Quench not the spirit. That's what he said. If you have not been getting the result, you know what you have been doing? You have been quenching the spirit. There is a right spirit that Jesus has given to you. If it manifests everywhere it goes, it will produce results. Everywhere it goes, it will produce results. But what do? We actively quench it. The late Kenneth Hagin said something, I will never forget it. He said one day the Lord told him that if I did not break your hand now, you will have died at the age of 59. Why? Because you were quenching the anointing of the prophet that I put upon you because people couldn't receive it. I will never preach to you what you want to hear. I will preach what the Lord ordered me to see. He said that he realized that sometimes he'll be teaching. And everybody knew him as a teacher. I found out, after observing him and with understanding, I said, that man was first a prophet before a teacher. And he said, the Lord told him that. That he'll be teaching. Suddenly a word of knowledge will come. He will see a vision. And maybe somebody sitting down there, he has a vision for that person. He said, he looks at the church, he said, here, they don't understand spiritual things. So he'll quench the vision and continue teaching. One day, he tripped and fell, landed on his elbow, and his bone snapped. He was in hospital. If you read his book, I Believe in Visions, the chapter titled The Hospital Visitor, you'll see it there. He was in hospital when the Lord walked in visibly, took a chair and sat down, and said, it is good I allowed your hand to break, because this is the only time I can arrest your attention to correct you. If I didn't, he gave him a date. He said, you will have died at 59. Is it 59 or 4? Something like that. He gave him a particular age. That this is the age you will have died. Men die needlessly because they quench the spirit that is upon them. Listen. When the devil wants to kill you early, he allows you to do what is not your assignment in life and gives you money from it. He will give you money from it. You will be prospering. But every night, your spirit will move. Then after some time, God will get tired. God is long-suffering. Like my friend would say, he's long-suffering, but does not suffer forever. His suffering is just long. Then he stops, and the devil pumps more money. The man will look and look. I can't stop this now. Who will pay for this mansion that I have built? My children are all going to school in expensive schools and going to school abroad. My wife travels all the time to go and shop. When she wants to deliver, she'll go and buy all her baby things abroad. How will I sustain that if I stop this? God says, that is your personal problem. My assignment I gave to you 20 years ago, here it is. I told you before, if anybody tells you salvation is free, they lie to you. The cost of salvation is what you have to forsake to obey God. That thing you need to forsake so you can obey God is the cost of salvation to you. So if you have nothing, for you it is free. According to Catherine Kuhlman, he said, I had nothing to give up. I was nothing. So it was very easy to obey God for me. But that's what she said. Do you know the truth? She walked out of 6 years marriage. That is, she married the wrong husband. She caused a man to leave his wife and family and marry her. Then when God showed her by signs and many events that you are walking wrongly. Then she woke up and said, you are not my husband. I'm going to meet my husband. And she walked out of that man's life like that. She married wrongly. She was not meant to marry that man. The man abandoned his wife to marry her. And the anointing upon her vanished immediately after the wedding. You know how I know? All the people following her disappeared. Everybody left her. Many places you invite her to come and preach. Just before the day, she's still warming up and praying. Then she'll get a phone call. Sorry, madam, we have to cancel it. We heard you took somebody's husband. Then one day she said, this is enough. 6 years, she got up and just walked away. She didn't have a place she was going. Just packed a bag and left. That was the cost of her salvation. So the Catherine Kuhlman you heard of paid. The hypothetical man I was telling you about, God will say, that is your problem. I will shut down this mansion. I shall move you to a 3-bedroom flat. I won't give you a 3-bedroom flat. You should be happy. I should have put you under the bridge. You want to use the reason why you were born in your spare time. You are not planning for long life. Are you following what I'm saying? If you follow the reason why God has given birth to you, if you refuse to quench the spirit, all other things shall be added unto you. Pastor tells me a story about Asueki. Now, those days when they were in school, the man is always punching keyboard. Everybody does this, the man is punching keyboard. After he left school, he was going around setting up choir. Finally, that's his music video. The pastor said, instant success. Pastor said, what? No, that's our pastor said, what nonsense? What do you mean by instant success? I knew this man. This is success, is not instant. This is reward that God is giving him for all the labors of having ministered and still ministering. I told you how I had got first-hand gist of how he was paid $1 million to play for 15 minutes. With his own mouth, he stood on this pulpit and told us how somebody gave him $5 million just for singing. It is not that he sang well. It is that God stirred up the spirits of people to bless him. It is not singing well. It is a product of faithfulness. What do? We quench the spirit. Quench the spirit. I can't go here to go and preach. You don't have plenty of money there. That is quenching of what? Spirit. Listen, what you will get is a reward though. What you will get is a reward, not payment. Let me explain what I'm saying. If I go to Kotangora to go and preach and nobody gives me a dime to even cushion the economic depression as a result of the expenses of going there, I have labored for God. I get a reward. Then one day I will go somewhere and I'll just say, praise the Lord, and I'll get $1 million. Somebody will say, Kai, that is praise the Lord was well articulated. In fact, as he moved into the hearts of people, what happened was that in the spirit, you are lying. I went to Kotangora 5 years ago. You were not there. That is why the Bible says, by faith we understand that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. It is because his father is connected. It's a lie. It's a reward of what? Faithfulness. We started by saying what? Quench not the spirit. You have quenched the spirit enough. Jesus came, he was born, glorified afterwards, so that he can give you the spirit that will flow out of your innermost beings. So that wherever your gift goes, you will heal the sick. So that wherever your gift goes, you will create jobs. You will give light to people. You will improve the situations around you. But the error, you say, let me get money first and I will do it. Jesus said, when I sent you out without scrip or purse, did you lack anything? Because before then he had sent them out. He said, take no purse. That is, don't take spare money. Don't take a change of clothes. Take what? The message. That's what he told them. Take my message. Go there and say, peace upon this home. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, just deliver them. All I want you to do is take the words I've given you. Wherever you get to, the laborer, he said, is worthy of his wages. Then after that, he told them, the day I sent you, Did you lack anything? They said, okay, we too were surprised. In fact, we never ate like that before. Now, understand what I'm saying. God supplies his provisions as long as you are following the vision that he has given you with a passion. He said, if you are willing, if you are obeying willingly, if you are willing and obedient, I will send every other thing to you. Quench not the spirit. How do we quench the spirit? You want to do what everybody else is doing. So the spirit is what? Quenched. I like what Andaxu Okiye said. He said, Americans, I think in South Africa, somewhere, they said he should come and sing. So he was singing Puyaka, Puyaka, Puyaka. They looked at him and said, come. We heard Puyaka before we left US. What do you have? Go to your house. Is there anything? He said, I still have this cruise of oil. He said, good. Pour it, let us see. Then he began to sing the kind of songs that we now know him for. And then the light opened. You understand what I'm saying? That he was quenching the spirit, trying to be like somebody else. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Results in life are simple and automatic. I explained that in the first service. The magnet doesn't try to induce electricity in the coil. As long as it passes through the coil, electricity is induced. That mass you put in the center of that sheet doesn't try to roll every other thing towards it. But by its presence, the sheet depresses in the center. And every other thing you put on that sheet will flow towards it. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. But what do? We quench the spirit. And once the spirit is quenched, we start laboring. Labor is a result of quenched spirit. Do you understand my point? When the spirit has not been given the opportunity to manifest, every other thing is labor. We start trying. We start trying. Oh boy, nobody gifted you to do this. The one they gifted you to do, you are not doing it because there's no money there. Number one, quencher of spirit, or number one is trying to be like other people. Number two, quencher of spirit is what the Bible calls the cares of this world. Cares is what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. When we pursue after that, spirit is quenched. Well, you know, I told you, I'm always preaching with banks because they are about the highest paying people in Nigeria, them and oil companies. So that's where you find people who are out of the will of God most. Do you understand? No, you understand my point. There are people who are there, dead in the center of the will of God. But anywhere you see money flowing, that's where you find the highest number of people who are out of the will of God. I hope you understand my point. You understand? So you see people who don't know 1 + 2, but they must be behind the counter. The passion, in fact, I always give my wife as an example. Say, when I, what's the interest rate, lending rate to your bank? Say, I don't know. I say, you shouldn't be working there. Come home. How can you be working? You don't know the lending rate. You know what that shows you? There is no spirit of the banker inside you. Just come home. And she came home. Praise the Lord. But she had one colleague that time. They get the list reading, Financial Times, Financial Standard. Doing, you know, when you see, I said, that your friend is a banker. You know, once you see him, it's out of his spirit, the thing is flowing. How have you quenched the spirit? Saints of God, rise up to your feet. Let us pray. I have spoken enough this morning. I believe that God has spoken to you. Pastor Sam, forgive me, but I guess God just wanted me to talk to you. If nobody will call you to come and do it, just do it anyway. I was listening to a man of God. He said that Creflo Dollar was giving somebody, some young men, counsel. They were asking, how did they start ministry? He said, listen, the most important way to start is just start. Look for any way to start. He said, if you're a preacher, put a bench somewhere and beg 3 people to sit down there, bring a Bible and start preaching to them. He said, you have started ministry. Don't beg anybody. You know, there's something they said ministers used to do then. I never saw anyone do it, but I heard they used to do it. Maybe now, I see, maybe Pastor Ed is going to U.S. next week to go and preach. So I'll take three of my tips and say, Pastor, please, let me give it to them when you reach there. Brother, they will invite you to come and preach. Spirit of corruption. You understand my point? The only reason is because it's America. You think when you go there, they will give you honorarium in dollars. You're a thief. You know what I'm saying? I always tell you, there are a lot of stealing Christians. If they gave you that same thing to go to Botswana, I have a friend who's now, they are moving to Botswana. I said, when you go there, arrange you. I want to come and preach in Botswana. I like such place to come and preach. I don't care whether they have money or not. If I tell you I'm going to Botswana, you won't give me your tape to give them because they're those poor people. Ask, no, I want to pray like David. Lord, renew the right spirit within me. Help me to stop quenching this spirit. This was why Jesus came, that he might be glorified, that I can have the spirit inside me, so it will flow out of me as rivers of living water. This is the season that Jesus was born. It's a good time to remember the reason why he came. He said after he will have been glorified, that is when we will get this spirit. Quench not the spirit. Say, God, how have I been quenching it? You will know. I can't tell you. You will look into your heart, you will know. You are chasing a woman that says you must become something before she agrees. She's quenching your spirit. Go away. The man chasing you, you know he doesn't have time for all this. You're speaking in tongues, and you are still allowing him to chase you. He's quenching your spirit. Go away from him. You know you are an anointed musician, but your boss said you must never sing near his office. That is sign to you that is not your place of rest. It is polluted. Go somewhere else. You can't use your gift in your spare time. You do other things in your spare time. That is, your gift is first. Your mission is first. Your spirit is first. You have quenched it enough. Say, God, this year, 2004, was my year of quenching the spirit. Next year, it will be my year of releasing the spirit. If you did not see 1,000 times more, that was the reason. Because the spirit does not struggle. I preached a message to us here one day when I called it Poor Jonah. That prophecies come sometimes, they don't come to pass. Not because the prophecy was weak, but because those that were receiving it were not doing the things necessary to release the spirit inside the prophecy. There is a spirit inside it. They took the prophecy and quenched it. I want you to pray for a few seconds. Say, Lord, in what way have I quenched the spirit this year? This year that is coming, Lord, open my eyes so that I will release the spirit, so that it will no longer be quenched in my life. Then my results will be automatic. The results will flow by themselves. I will follow the Lord and he will make me.